And now, the number one audio program that helps you to hire, get hired, and soar higher in the Salesforce ecosystem. It's the Salesforce Career Show with Josh Matthews and Vanessa Grant.
Okay, well, welcome everybody. You heard the man. My name's Josh Matthews. My co-host is Vanessa Grant. Quick background, I run the SalesforceRecruiter.com and the Expand Exchange, which Vanessa helped me create. We love getting together and chatting about things. Vanessa's going to intro herself in just a moment, but I'll just intro the topic. And the topic today is going to be about a really badass article that was penned by my amazing co-host, Vanessa Grant. That article is on Salesforce Ben. I've created a short link for it. So if you'd like to access it on audio, it's super easy to get to. You just type in joshforce.com/BA. Again, joshforce.com/BA. It is hosted on Salesforce Ben. And we'll bring Vanessa on right now. We're going to be talking about this and then also taking people's questions about the article, about the advice that was given, and any other interesting news and topics worth mentioning for this week. Okay, Vanessa, welcome to your show.
Thanks, Josh. How are you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. It's been a wonderful day. We actually had hail here in Florida. It was bouncing off of the screens. But it's dried up nicely, got the window open and ready to rock it for the show. How are you doing?
Good. So for folks that don't know me, I'm Vanessa Grant. I'm an associate principal consultant at Simplis, and we've been doing the Salesforce Career Show for a couple years now. Really excited to support people on their Salesforce journeys. And I also moonlight as a Clicked coach and apparently also as a Salesforce Ben article writer. So there we go.
Yeah, you just keep getting those notches in your belt. A quick message, if this is your first time listening to the live show, you can find past podcasts or broadcasts of this show at our Buzzsprout address. It's the Salesforce Career Show .buzzsprout.com. Maybe it's for, no, I think it's .buzzsprout.com. But you can also just type in Salesforce Career Show in Apple Music, Amazon Music, Spotify, iHeartRadio, whatever your flavor of choice or platform is choice. You can find us there. And most recently released was a segment from our last show 2 weeks ago, which was how to work with recruiters, like how to get the most out of your relationship with a recruiter in the ecosystem. And then the bulk of the show, which was a fantastic program where Vanessa and I really deep dove into mentoring and the role of a mentee and different programs within the Salesforce ecosystem. Largely, this was a Vanessa show too. And so that's all ready to go. We just are going to push the button. We'll probably do that later on today or tonight. So be sure to check out those two new podcasts from the last 2 weeks. And with that, let's dive right in here, Vanessa. You penned what I thought was an extremely comprehensive article for Salesforce Ben. Look, it's published on Salesforce Ben. It's not for Salesforce Ben. It's for people in the Salesforce ecosystem. And having given it a really sound read, I can tell you it's extremely well written. I love the way the sections are broken down. And I'll also share, too, that whether you're a BA or interested in a BA career or not, doesn't matter. This is worth a read because a lot of the questions and a lot of the recommendations on there apply to just about everybody, particularly everyone in a functional role in the ecosystem. So, okay, now I'll shut up. Vanessa, talk to us about your article.
So Salesforce Ben approached me about putting together this business analyst interview questions. I just ended up picking 30. The way that I kind of split it up was the warm-up questions and then covering some bigger topics that BAs might encounter in those meetings. And when I wrote it, I kind of had more newer folks in mind. I to a certain extent that the Salesforce BA role is still newer in the ecosystem. So I still feel like there's a lot of new folks coming in, but I do think that I also did address for some more experienced BAs how they would approach some of these questions. I noticed when BAs are going through their interviewing process, besides getting some of the standard questions, Like, for example, the, do you have any questions for me? I think while, of course, there is the guidance of, yes, if somebody asks you that question in an interview, it's important to have questions ready, that you've shown that you've done your research in, you know, on the company, things like that. But I think there is like nuance when you're going in for a business analyst role. When you have somebody who's interviewing you for a Salesforce BA role, besides wanting to know that you are interested in Salesforce, that you understand the platform. And I think that's also part of the reason why the admin certification currently is a prerequisite to that BA certification, because without Salesforce, then you're just a BA, as opposed to a Salesforce BA. But I think there's also some nuance in that when folks are interviewing you, they're going to look at how you are with them, because they want to be sure that they can be comfortable that on day one, that they could put you in front of a client or some business stakeholder, or even if it's an internal BA role, like an internal business stakeholder, and that you're not going to embarrass them. So they're going to look for how you are approaching them, how your demeanor is. They're going to make sure that your questions are really solid questions, that you didn't just Google 10 minutes before the interview, because they want to feel how you are going to make other people feel like if you are conducting meetings, running stakeholder requirements, gathering sessions, doing discovery. And I think that's a really big thing that I tried to address in my article, is you want to approach this interview as if you already are a BA.
Yeah, it's an excellent point. And I think that you do approach that and cover that in a very direct way in the article. And I think it's probably a good idea if we just spend 15 seconds or 20 seconds and describe, in your words, what does a BA do? We may have some listeners that are new to the ecosystem or new to technology. Can you give us the quick 10-20 second rundown on what a Salesforce BA does?
20 seconds. I don't know about that, but
yeah, you can do it. Come on, you got it.
All right. So a Salesforce business analyst is mostly focused on gathering the requirements so that when we are moving into a Salesforce build, that we are building the right things based on business, on what the business needs, not what the solution is. So we're not going in and saying we need a button. We're saying, why do you need that button? What is the business value of that button? And basically putting together the task list, we describe them as user stories if we're doing an agile implementation. And then we also take it into user acceptance testing, because a lot of those to-do lists turn into our test scripts over the course of a Salesforce build. I may have thrown too many consulting words in there, but we have people who are alongside the folks that are on the
build. Okay, Vanessa, we're getting a little interference on your line, so I'm not sure if it's your location, but please check that out real quick.
Oh, no.
Let me ask you this. Inside of an organization, where does the BA fit in relation to project managers, stakeholders? Like, in other words, who do they typically report to?
Well, that depends on if they're internal or not. As an internal BA, I've often reported to an IT department, a consultant. I've reported to I work alongside project managers, or work alongside Salesforce admins, or work alongside solution architects when it comes to delivering new Salesforce solutions.
Okay, yeah, very good. And look, how difficult is it for someone who has been a BA in a different tech stack, or just a generalist BA, you know, say at any organization, how difficult would you say it is for them to transition to the Salesforce side?
I don't think that it's that difficult to transition to the Salesforce side, but to be, I think, a really effective Salesforce BA, it does require some understanding of the platform. You don't want to go in gathering requirements and almost writing your user stories, reinventing the wheel when it's an out-of-the-box feature. So having familiarity with Salesforce so that you are gathering the requirements that you need, with an understanding of how to coach your stakeholders into what is possible using the platform, is very important, I think, if you're going for a Salesforce BA career.
Definitely. It absolutely is. And, you know, you brought up at the start of the show a little bit about the types of personalities. I would say personality questioning that people might receive in an interview because they really want to understand how you're going to interact with the stakeholders, be they internal or external through a consulting firm. So can you do me a favor? Can you just refresh me and our audience's memory of what your MBTI is, your Myers-Briggs type indicator? Do you recall that?
No, I don't recall off the top of my head. It was like 8%.
Yeah.
It was the executive. What's the executive?
Oh, well, you know what? It just kind of depends. I think the ESFJ is the executive, or the ENFJ might be the executive, but they stick. It depends on the site you go to. They just slap different archetype names. But I did a quick research because I thought it'd be just a fun thing to do. This is to just kind of help get people kind of interested in MBTI and understanding personality profiles in general. But I did a quick search. What's the ideal personality type for a business analyst? And are you curious what it had to say?
I am. And I think I'm an ESTJ. I think that's where I
land. ESTJ. Okay. All right. Very cool. So the ESTJ is the administrator personality. It's actually a very cool, very effective personality in business. Typically very closely aligned with following the rules, right? So you tend to draw inside of the lines. And if you're a BA, that's a really good quality, to have. And then the E, of course, is extroversion. So that means that you're not having your energy overly drained by holding 3-hour stakeholder meetings, right? Where, an introvert may just want to curl up under the desk, put on some headphones and tune out because they're just losing energy at that point. So you have the stamina for the social work that's involved. So the ESFP is what they said was a general good personality for business analysts, but by no means does that mean that anybody from any kind of personality can't be effective in it, because it's a skill set that we can learn. It's just a sort of a fun little fact that they pulled out, right? They said, okay, ESFP is good for business analysis. ENTJ is good for, you know, tech manager, things like that. But this stuff's, at this point, this sort of stuff is a little bit of a joke because it's more complex than that. And it really depends on the firm that you're with and then the style of BA that you're going to be in, all of those things. But I thought it'd be kind of fun to bring up.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I have seen all sorts of different personalities be successful as a BA. I think ultimately it comes down to, can you effectively translate business into tech? As long as you can be that bridge between your business teams and your technology teams so that you can work together to build the right things and then build them the right way, then that's really the main thing, being able to communicate that. So communicate that with your words and communicate that with your writing. There's a lot of writing and a lot of coordinating and a lot of talking.
Absolutely. And you know what, there's, speaking of talking and communicating, if it's all right with you, I'd like to quote a section from your article, which really stuck out to me. You wrote, sometimes business requirements can feel more like business therapy sessions, but tapping into those feelings of pain, resentment, and frustration when gathering requirements often means you're getting to the real picture of the business, and that's a wonderful thing. When your stakeholders feel like you're there to genuinely help them, you'll more easily become a trusted advisor to them. So to me, that was one of the most powerful parts of your entire article. Talk to all of us, if you can, a little bit more about that. Like, what types of qualities does it take? Like, to get people to open up is not an easy thing for everyone to do, right? And so our effectiveness in this specific kind of role, it must include a level of empathy, right? And a level of honesty as well, and directness. Would you agree with both of those?
I'd agree with all that. And I would also add a factor of likability. A lot of times self-deprecating humor gets me really, really far on these types of meetings, just because if they like talking to me and they feel like they can trust me because I'm down to earth or I'm empathetic. I seem like I care about them. I'm not walking in trying to, you know, throw a bunch of Salesforce tech speak at them, like, and talking to them like they're stupid. Then it is a lot easier to build trust that way, so that they do feel comfortable telling me if, you know, let's say there's a person on the team that is a bottleneck, or there's some weird skeleton in their tech stack closet that they're embarrassed about, or there's a spreadsheet somewhere that they know they should have retired that thing 5 years ago, but they're so married to it for some reason. And I need them to be able to share what might be shameful things. I mean, ultimately, if I'm coming in and trying to put Salesforce on their business process, I think the initial reaction is that they're going to feel like, oh, well, you're coming in and basically telling me that I'm not doing my job the best way that I can, and you're going to fix it. And there can be, depending on, you know, if that person that you're interviewing had any hand in actually moving the initiative forward, if they wanted it, they didn't necessarily want it though. Like, sometimes I walk in and it's like their boss just said, hey, we're bringing in Salesforce. There's going to be an IT initiative. And that's pain. You know, how many people have gone through IT projects where the change has been really painful? The adoption has been really painful. And so it's hard when these folks who you're at your job 8 hours a day and to say, well, we're going to go do some hard work together so that we can hopefully make things better. But with IT projects, trusting that person to actually make things better is difficult. So yes, it's business therapy. I want to hear your pain points. And I want to reassure you that I'm going to do whatever I can to make this better for you. I want to be here to help you. And I want to be able to advocate for you and your team so that we can build the best thing possible. That's one of the wonderful things with Salesforce, is that we are not limited by what's out of the box. We can customize this to whatever makes sense for your particular team.
You know, it's some powerful stuff that you're sharing, right? Like all of it from the top down, starting with, this idea of self-deprecating humor, right? Because all that is, that's showing two things. One, it's showing a certain level of vulnerability while keeping things professional, for one. But also, you know, making light of it, because a lot of the people who are involved in the technical debt that required the work to be done in the first place, they may have had a hand in making those early poor judgment calls about the software. Would you agree? I mean, not all of them.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. And so that there's a level of like, yeah, I did this, I built this, but it could have been better and I made mistakes. And Look, let's face it, admitting you're wrong, it's really hard when you're 3, it's really hard when you're 30, it's hard when you're 50. It's just hard. And the good news is that a lot of people who are in stakeholder positions didn't get there because they bulldozed their way through. Most of the people who advance in their careers, whether it's in the C-suite or the director or VP level, the partner level, they've gotten there because of a level of vulnerability that they've had with themselves. In other words, they've taken opportunities to truly take a look in the mirror and figure out what they are doing that's hurting themselves and others or their career, and then making the changes necessary. So that's the good news. Most stakeholders aren't going to be sort of culled from your average individual, because I would say that, you know, this admission of guilt or admission of wrongdoing is more difficult for people who aren't leaders than those who are leaders. Now, I'm kind of curious if the audience has any perspective on that.
I did notice we do have one speaker. Is he there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello, everybody.
Hey, Jason. Why did you?
Hey, Jason. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Yeah. Well. Thank you for having me. First time listener live, long time listener to the podcast. I'm very grateful that you have those retained there. And thank you, Vanessa, for recommending the show. I've seen it on the Twitter space, but I haven't jumped in. So it's great content, great characters. And where I reached out to Vanessa is actually just yesterday. I did a presentation for the Salesforce Military Trailhead Tuesday of Salesforce Career Navigator. It was something that I put together that just helped me understand the ecosystem of trying to understand, like, what is Salesforce and where is Salesforce and who's in Salesforce. So you can check that out now at jsunnyz.online. It would just letter J, letter Z with the sunny sun in the middle, jsunnyz.online.
Well, look, Jason, we always value, you know, new people when they get a chance to come up, especially if they've been a long time listener. So we appreciate your support of our program and your contributions. You and I had a chance to talk a little while last week now, didn't we?
Yes, indeed. Thank you.
Yeah. And that was a lot of fun. Do you want to take a moment and talk about the Salesforce Career Navigator? By the way, if it's not up yet, a link to jsunnyz.online is going to be available on expandexchange.com, I would think within a few days, if not sooner. And if you're unfamiliar with the Expand Exchange, that is a directory that Vanessa and I curated. It has links to different academies, Salesforce personalities, YouTube channels, and communities that you can drill down based on your career track, right? And based on whether you're, for instance, in the military or not, or you're a BA, or you want to be an architect, or you are an architect. So definitely check out expandexchange.com. And if you have a recommendation, feel free to let me or Vanessa know, and we'll review it and look into getting it up there. So Jason, tell us a little bit about your Salesforce Career Navigator.
Right. So it came about when I did a Salesforce, I taught a Salesforce class over the summer of teaching Salesforce careers to high school and community college students. And from that, I brought in a whole bunch of guest speakers just to try to show them, like, these are the different careers, because it's hard to define, it's hard to contain all of the different careers in Salesforce. And I was trying to just get them exposure with that, because that actually helped me pivot into Salesforce. So a bit about my journey, about how I fell into Salesforce is, I was using Salesforce as a user, working at Arizona State University, where I was able to see the night and day when we brought on Salesforce, and I had to push for that adoption. So it made me a raving fan, a change champion. But at the time, I was studying sustainability, which is something I'm very passionate about. But what I realized is, after graduating with that degree, that there was no job fair for sustainability. And it's a great network, but not as developed.
Are you saying it wasn't a sustainable career?
Exactly. How ironic.
It's right? Very ironic.
So with sustainability, you have to begin with the end in mind. And so I was talking to professors, but not professionals. I was not beginning with the end in mind about, okay, what is the purpose of studying this? If you're going to go to school, well, that's like getting dressed. Get dressed for the occasion. And understand that there's going to be many occasions throughout your life. So be a lifelong learner. What should you be studying now? Do you want to be studying how to be a business analyst? Do you want to be studying solution architect? Do you want to study develop? Like, get a strategy. What should you be studying now? What are your goals? You can have many interests. Do you want to study music? You know, you can have many interests. Be well-rounded. Be a Renaissance person. So with the understanding that, okay, I need to understand careers, and I've seen careers posted with Salesforce qualifications. Is that a thing? I'm not so sure. So this was over 2020 when there was virtual meetings. And so I just attended a whole bunch of virtual meetings. And that's where I met Vanessa and a whole bunch of also awesome superstars out there that helped me learn about what they did. So I did informational interviews and more about that next week on Salesforce Military Trailhead Tuesdays. I'm going to be giving a whole presentation about how to network to get work. So my whole strategy about that. And so fast forward to where right now I'm a technical trainer, teaching the end user Salesforce, working at a consulting firm. And I built the Navigator because I had a chance to teach these students Salesforce careers. And what was so important for me is that it was a class there where the first day of the class, hey, you're here to learn about Salesforce careers. First day of the class, who here has heard about Salesforce? No one, of course. They're not working at any company where they're Salesforce users. It's a B2B product. So to help explain to them what is Salesforce, and then put into context where is Salesforce, and to understand all those characters of who's in Salesforce, I brought in different guest speakers to let them know like what they do, whether they're a business analyst working at consulting or at a customer, and just all the different many hats and the people who wear many hats. And from that came this Navigator, was me realizing, okay, I can compartmentalize this with the what, the where, and the who, which is great for any career. Like, first understand the content, like, what is this? I'm learning Salesforce, I'm learning ServiceNow, I'm learning Oracle. What is this? Okay, where is this? Who are the customers that use it and the industries that use it? So now we can put it into context. I'm now understanding how I could pivot into this. I was in higher ed, I was in recruiting, sales, whatever. You're now getting into context of that or organization, you know, or an industry, you know, and then the characters, the people understand all the different roles and the ladders, because you could be, you know, start as a Salesforce user if you want to break into Salesforce ecosystem. And it's like hard to get that first admin or business analyst role. Maybe can you be a user, right? And then a super user. And then you can get your foot in the door to be a producer. Like, say, the people who build it. So understand how that's related. And that is my Navigator, how it maps out those different definitions. And it's a presentation I can be able to do, but it's also a resource for people to be able to see those definitions and different resources.
That's right. And a lot of really helpful links. So if you're kind of curious, well, what products, you know, are there, you don't have to go hunting for the, you know, you don't have to Google it. It's right there on your site. And you built this with Experience Cloud. Is that correct?
Yes, because that was free and something for me to learn, and then something to be able to show. Hey, you build with Salesforce to learn Salesforce and show what you can do with Salesforce. So I built it on Experience Cloud, and thanks to your advice, Josh, I then bought a $1 URL.
Yeah, smart move. Something about 200 character URLs just doesn't sit right. Doesn't sit right with me. That's actually why I created a quick bit.ly URL for Vanessa's article. I announced it at the beginning of the show, but if you're just joining us right now, you can find it. Just go to joshforce.com/BA and you'll access the article that Vanessa penned that's published on Salesforce. Ben, Jason, thanks for being on the show. We want to hear from you again a little bit later on in the program. But I've got a couple other things I want to talk about with Vanessa regarding her article. So, you know, there's one of the questions on here, which is a typical question that we run into, which is the, do you have any questions for me? And I just wanted to highlight something. If you're a hiring manager and you're reading this article or you're listening to this show, there's a better way to ask this, and it's really not necessarily the better way, it's the better when. So I certainly try and get all of my clients who interview our candidates that we submit to ask this question at the very start of the interview. Okay, so if you're a hiring manager and this is a question you ask, try and just experiment with it for a few interviews. See what it's like when you ask this up front. Part of what's great about asking it at the beginning is, first of all, people should be walking in the door with questions. And Vanessa, I think you did a really good job of pointing out that you should come with questions, especially if you're a BA, right? Which are professional question askers. So come with questions. And then if you ask it at the beginning, imagine yourself going to an interview. What if you had three or four questions about, you know, what's the typical day like? You know, how many clients will you be supporting, you know, at the same time? How many people are on the team? Who will you be working with most closely? All of these sort of important questions. And of course, one of my favorite questions, which you can find at the salesforcerecruiter.com, which is, okay, if let's say this interview went well, I started on Monday, what am I going to find out 3 months? What will I know 3 months from now about the company and working for you that I'll have wished that I knew today? Right. So that's a good question. But what happens is they get way more relaxed. Like, you've answered their questions. And now you don't have to worry about whether or not you're inserting that information throughout the conversation. Right. And it just relaxes them. And guess what, people? When someone's a little bit more relaxed, they tend to be a little bit more authentic, and you'll get to see the real person, not the persona of who they think they're supposed to be during an interview. And it also builds rapport because you're giving them center stage first and foremost. So that's something I wanted to bring up. And then there was another thing, Vanessa, you know, you have a question on here. Which Salesforce clouds do you have experience with? Great question. What have you seen in your experience? How do people typically answer this? I mean, I don't want to do all the talking on this one.
So with the Salesforce clouds, I think it's, so a lot of folks will usually start with sales and service, which is totally fine. But you need BAs for every type of thing. And listen, there's a number of times as a business analyst where when I'm going into a project, it's not necessarily for something I have experience in. Like, I've had to do business analysis and solution architecture for Salesforce maps, for enterprise territory management, for high velocity sales, for Quip, you know, things that I never actually used when I was working corporate life, you know, as an end user. But all of a sudden I'm expected to go in and be a business analyst. And so I think one of the important things in the Salesforce ecosystem in general, we're never going to know everything. But certainly as a business analyst, it's important to understand the feature set and be able to find access to this information as quickly as you can. And so if there are certain clouds that you're interested in or have experience in, that's great. Talk about those things. If there's certain business processes that you have experience with where you can speak the same language as those business stakeholders, like, oh yeah, I did sales for 10 years. So when I go in and talk to your salespeople, like, I already understand kind of what their day-to-day looks like. So we'll be able to have more productive conversations. That's also a great thing to bring up, and also shows that you would understand Sales Cloud if you ended up on a project like that. But then also pointing out the resources that you have at your disposal in case you end up with some new features or new functionality or new clouds that all of a sudden that you're going to have to be a business analyst for. So that's what I would say. Also, if there's any AppExchange products that you have experience with, it's mm-hmm. also a good time to bring up those things as well.
Definitely. And so let me ask you this. Let's imagine for a moment someone's going in for a BA role, and a lot of the work that they're going to be doing is with CPQ, but they haven't touched CPQ. How might they go about admitting that they don't have experience with that cloud? How might they go about tying in their past experience to their ability to work within that cloud?
So I think if I were, I'm on my first CPQ project right now, ironically, and it's a doozy.
That took a while for you to get a CPQ project.
No. Finally.
Yeah. It's like, so you're on the fringes there for 2 years. Yeah.
Time to study for my cert. I don't have my cert in it, but I'm managing a team of BAs right now for a very, very complex CPQ implementation. And my team has to trust me on this, but part of them trusting me on it is I do understand the end users. I do understand complicated pricing models because I have worked in industries that are similar to the one my client is in. So discussing my experience as far as, yes, I understand how these businesses work. Yes, I understand some of the complexities of pricing from a business standpoint. I would need some support as far as understanding the feature set of CPQ, but I've been interested in CPQ for quite a while. I mean, if Josh will know that's actually the reason why I joined Simplis is because I've been dying to do CPQ for forever.
That's right.
So certainly I have a passion for it. It's been something I've been wanting to do, something I've always thought I'd be good at, because I have X number of years of subscription and contract management under my belt, because I worked at a SaaS organization for quite a number of years. But I touched on all these points without actually saying I'm an expert at Salesforce CPQ. I'm not, but I sure am an expert at a lot of the things that are adjacent to Salesforce CPQ. I know Conga, I know DocuSign, I know these business processes. I understand complicated pricing. I understand this industry. And so that supports my case to make me a good fit for a Salesforce BA role in this particular project that I'm on.
Excellent answer. Thanks for sharing all of that. That's more than I thought you would say, and I think it's awesome. So thank you. I will tell you, you know, Stephen and I see all the time with candidates, people who try to sort of fake that they might know a cloud, right? And so just if you're listening to this and you're sort of new or you're inexperienced in interviewing, just a word of caution. If you don't know a cloud, if you don't know anything regarding a question that you're asked, be certain to admit that quickly and right away, right? Now, as Vanessa pointed out, you don't have to know a cloud to be helpful in a cloud necessarily. But it's a good idea to, you might not be a cert junkie the way Vanessa is, right? But just spending a little bit of time and getting familiar with each different cloud that's on offer through Salesforce, knowing what they do and knowing a handful of the nuances and differences about each of them, can go a long way, you know, in the middle of an interview. So you can say, hey, look, I haven't worked with Service Cloud before, but my understanding is it operates this way, that way, and the other way, that, you know, X percent of the platform is going to look and feel just like Sales Cloud, right? And so I, of course, I'm going to bring in a lot of knowledge related to those areas. But this would be my plan to ramp up on being an expert. And I would do X, Y, and Z, right? So that way you can give confidence while admitting that you don't know yet.
Yep. I totally agree with all that. Get those resources at your fingers. And certainly listen, I have never had a hands-on keyboard configuration day-to-day job in the Salesforce ecosystem. I've been doing this for 13 years, but I mean, for sure, I have a very good consultant mindset. You know, we're talking about BAs often are the trusted advisors, and I'm happy to advise people on how they can leverage whichever Salesforce cloud to meet their business needs. And if you can speak at that level, it will take you super far as being able to coach people into what is possible. You know, what Salesforce features and which clouds would be useful for the business case that you have. And if you can do that, that is a major skill set of a business analyst.
Whoops, there we go. Yeah, definitely. Can I ask you about a quote? So you have a quote in there from a fellow from Conga. And the quote was, if you take a bad process and add technology, you just get a faster bad process.
I will tell you that quote probably is one of the quotes that got me started doing Salesforce business analysis. Ash Finnegan is the digital transformation officer at Conga. And I saw her speak at Conga Connect in 2020, a month before the pandemic. So before I even had my first Salesforce BA role. And the way that she spoke made so much sense to me. And I advocate so often when you're trying to find your place in the Salesforce ecosystem, even to Jason's point about how many different paths there are and how things can be confusing. For me, a big part was finding the people who spoke in a way that made sense to me. So like Ash Finnegan, Ian Gotts, Tony V. Martin. And once I started realizing that these people were like business people with a strong technical foundation, and we're speaking about processes. And I've always considered myself a business process person. It really helped me find my path in the Salesforce ecosystem. So when I saw Ash Finnegan speak, for me, the big thing is we end up with, whether you're internal or you're working at a consultancy, there's so many times where you have a business that is just like, okay, we have a business problem and we're just going to get Salesforce and that'll fix it. And the challenge there is if you have a bad process, let's say it's overly complex, there's too many touch points with people, just trying to recreate a bad business process and throwing Salesforce on it, again, it's just going to be a faster bad process. You need to do the work as a team, as a business, on how you're going to optimize that before you even think about technology. I wouldn't even think Salesforce. Salesforce isn't always the answer either. It's how do we optimize this business process that may be old, that may have some old spreadsheet somewhere, or was created by somebody who left the company 5 years ago. Let's revisit this and see, is this still the best way to handle what we want to achieve, the business value that we want to achieve now? And if we optimize that, how can we then leverage technology after we've already made the process as good as it can be to make it even better and scalable?
Man, you know, you're speaking my language. I'm going to date myself here a little bit, but this quote just kind of reminds me of a funny thing that Steve Martin said back in the 80s. And I'll get this wrong, but he was talking about, you know, it might not even be Steve Martin. It could be Robin Williams, but one of them was talking about cocaine and they said, it just makes you more of what you are. So if you're an asshole, you're just going to be a bigger asshole. If you do coke, no one do coke. It's not good for you. Okay. So just so you know, come on kids, do not touch that crap. But I, you know, and I've heard this in some Tony Robbins stuff. It's like, you've got to have everything really dialed in. It's like starting with good ingredients. If you're a chef,
yes,
right. It's like pointing at the moon, if that's where you're trying to go. You can build a rocket, load it up with rocket fuel, but if it's not pointing in the right direction, you're just going to get to nowhere very quickly. And so, you know, getting this stuff dialed in early and often, iterating is absolutely critical. Look, Stephen and I have had a chance to place a lot of BAs over the years. And I don't just mean Salesforce BAs, because we worked together doing general technology out of Oregon for many years. And I happen to really like BAs. BAs and PMs are so fun to work with because they are they're generally personable. They ask good questions. They're typically smart. Like most people, you don't get to be a BA if you're, not at least at average intelligence or above, right? Like they don't give you that job. You've got to be smart. I did want to ask you, you know, there are a lot of organizations out there that don't have designated BAs, right? And the BA work falls onto consultants, or it may fall onto a solution architect. Have you seen that before, Vanessa?
Oh yeah. I mean, and I think that that's also how Salesforce is kind of approaching it right now. I wrote a blog post on business analysis for the admin blog, but it's not like there's a section on Salesforce's website that's for Salesforce BAs. Salesforce right now thinks of business analysis as like a hat that an admin wears, because they're still very, very focused on administrators. And if you're a solo admin, the last thing you want to do is be an order taker. If you are an order taker as an admin, your Salesforce org will end up turning into Frankenstein, and you will accumulate technical debt, and there will be far too many cooks in the kitchen, because there'll be a bunch of squeaky wheel users that'll say, hey, if I ask you for this thing, you know, you'll do it, because, and if you're an order taker, you'll just, okay, they asked for a button, here's the button, as opposed to thinking about the long-term health of the org, how best to solution it for, you know, to achieve the business value that they want, even finding out the business value. I mean, it's sad, but I've worked with folks where I go into, you know, an organization and they have admins that have been there for a decade, and you ask them about the business processes that they're supporting, and they can't tell you them because they don't understand the business at that level. And it's really important to understand how the business runs, to be that trusted advisor, and then finding the best way for Salesforce to support that business as opposed to just doing whatever anybody has to do.
Exactly. I mean, it just goes to show it's not for everybody, right? I mean, there's only so many people in the population that are curious or interested in business processes, right? And that interest is generally driven by a desire to make things better, right? And like, okay, how do I make this run more efficiently? How do I make this save money, save time, deliver more exceptional experiences for the internal users or external users? How do I, you know, put a smile on the stakeholders' face and ultimately change the bottom line? After all, it's Salesforce, right? We're talking about, you know, that thing where money changes hands, like that thing that's the lifeblood of every company, which is sales, ultimately, right? Whether it's marketing cloud or CPQ or service cloud, I mean, we're talking about software that bottom line impacts the bottom line and consequently allows companies to hire more, give raises, give more ownership, give more shares, and so on and so forth. So it's a lot to consider. And honestly, the average person doesn't approach their job thinking about business process. I'll tell you something too, Vanessa. You know, when you were talking about, you know, this quote, right? You take a bad process and add technology, you just get a faster bad process. And you were talking about slowing down. And one of the things that you said just a moment ago was like, look, figure out what's the problem, right? The answer might not be Salesforce. And guess what, guys? It goes for your career too. We talk to people all the time, not necessarily every single week, but frequently enough, where, and they might come on this show, or they might schedule a conversation, or they might interview, and they share with us that they know that they want to be a Salesforce admin, or they know they want to be a solution architect or whatever. And I always like a real simple question, which is why, right? And then they start talking about some of the things that are in Vanessa's article, right? Like, well, oh, the community. Okay, that's cool. What else, right? Well, you know, my sister-in-law is doing it and she's making 80 grand. Like, okay, what else? Like, what is it that you like to do? Like, what are you all about? You know, what are the things that are interesting for you? Where have you had successes in the past? And I talk people out of having Salesforce careers on a regular basis, just so you know, right? And it's not to try and keep people from, thanks for the smiley face or the laughing face there, Vanessa. It's not to try and like somehow protect the ecosystem at all. It is 100% to protect that person's happiness and future. Because for some people, like I had someone that I was talking to recently, and they're all about Salesforce, and they're going to get their cert, and they're going to do this, and they're going to do that. And when I dug into their past and what they're really passionate about, guess what? It had nothing to do with technology. And it certainly had nothing to do with drop-down menus, you know, like it just didn't. So when I pressed him a little bit more and asked him what else his interests were, man, did he start lighting up. I mean, the energy in him changed. He became more relaxed. He became relaxed and excited. You'd think he just had a cigarette. Like he was so smooth and like engaged and on it. And you know, then I asked him a couple of tech questions and it just got like the tone just changed again. It's like, so if you're listening to this show, it's okay to ask yourself, what am I doing here? There's nothing wrong with that. I ask myself that all the time. I always have an answer. I know why I'm doing what I do, right? But if you're unsure why you're doing what you're doing, and if the answer is just to put food on the table, or I got three hungry mouths to feed, or whatever it is, right? And you're listening to this show because for some reason it's not working. You want something more. You know, you're not getting the respect at the place that you want. You're getting passed over for promotions. You find you don't have the energy to invest in getting better at the thing that you personally selected you're going to do with your life, right? It's okay to take a good hard look at yourself and ask yourself, are you just coming up with a faster, you know, are you just putting fuel on a faster way to get to where you don't want to go, basically, in your career. So really good words from Ash, Vanessa, but it definitely made me think about the way people should probably be approaching some of their careers with asking themselves, be your own BA first, right?
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, from a why perspective, why do I like being a business analyst, and why a lot of folks that I know like being business analysts is to help people. BAs in having that touch point with those end users and those business stakeholders, we basically have to go back and advocate for them. So they don't necessarily get a seat at the table when somebody spends a ton of money on Salesforce licenses to do this big digital transformation project. But we, as the business analysts, get to go in, understand what their pain is, and then support them throughout this project and advocate, because we're able to speak to that those pain points. We're able to speak to those desires and those wishes, so that we can, like, the joy that I receive when we deliver a project successfully and somebody's 8-hour day is so much easier than it was before they had what we delivered. That is joy that fuels me in my career.
I love it. Joy should fuel most people, I would hope, versus fear. So I love that. Well spoken. Look, I think we're going to just have a around an hour long program today. So we've got a few minutes here left. Does anybody have a question or a comment about what they've learned today or heard today or a perspective? Yeah, Jason, go ahead.
Yeah, one last thing to mention about listening to podcasts. If you're listening to a podcast, I want to give a plug for a free podcasting app out there that a lot of people don't know, but it's I'm not getting any sponsorship money from them. It's free, but I found that it is like a hidden gem, just like with the Salesforce Career Navigator. There's a free podcast listening app called Snipped that, if you imagine, okay, so recently you had a podcast episode that was talking about ChatGPT, and you know, that's like
that's right, with David Geller. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So wouldn't it be cool if you're listening to this podcast and ChatGPT could just say, hey, you know, ChatGPT, can you give me a summary of this podcast episode? And you know, hey, that part right there, the part in the middle where Vanessa was talking about the BA clouds, can you give me like key takeaways for just that part? Well, that's what Snip does. You listen to it, it transcribes it. It actually uses ChatGPT now, so it's even more superpowered. And while you're listening to it, you could just create a clip. And you can do that by like pressing the app button on the phone or a double tap on the earphones. And it makes a clip. You can add your own notes. It provides key takeaways suggested already by ChatGPT. And then syncs to Notion. So if you use Notion as a database, this was the first time I heard of Notion, another free tool for individuals. I'm able to see all my podcasts right there, because this way it's so much better than just a podcast that goes in one ear and out in both ears and out somewhere. So you're able to retain that information. You can be able to review it, add to it, and share it.
And you know, I'll throw a second thing on there, since you mentioned Notion. And we love David Geller. David Geller, if you go onto YouTube, also has a whole thing on how Salesforce admins can leverage Notion to do their jobs better.
All right, guys. So this episode brought to you by Notion and by Snip. I think that's terrific. We're going to wrap it up here. Look, if you've been listening to this show on Twitter, on your desktop, then you're missing half the fun. Right. So next in 2 weeks, when we're back on Wednesday, a week from Wednesday, we hope that you'll join us on the mobile app, where you'll be able to come to the stage, ask your questions and share your input. By the way, if you know someone who you think would be an incredible guest for our program, the way Jason was today or the way David Geller was 4 weeks ago, please make a recommendation to me and Vanessa. We're really interested in bringing top performers and people who have a strong perspective and hopefully a successful perspective on Salesforce and the ecosystem and how to improve one's career within it. We'd love to have them on the show as a guest. You can reach me. It's josh@thesalesforcerecruiter.com. You can also visit the website, thesalesforcerecruiter.com. And for those of you who are on the app right now, be sure to connect with Stephen Greger on my team. He's in charge of, he's the director of recruiting. So make sure that you reach out to Stephen at the salesforcerecruiter.com. Also, another plug for expandexchange.com and a final plug for Vanessa's amazing article. You can find it at Salesforce Ben. And if you type in Vanessa, you'll be able to pull it up. But if you want the quick short link, it's joshforce.com/BA. This has been an incredible program all about BAs. Vanessa, nicely done, my friend.
Well, you know, when you're passionate about something, it's easy.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And it's always easy to be on this show with you. So thank you so much. Any final words for our guests? Thanks, Vanessa.
It's nothing but love. Let's end it on a high note.
Okay, guys. Well, listen, I hope everybody has an amazing rest of the whatever it is right now and a good start to Q2 so far, too. Stay warm in the spring sunshine, and we'll be back 2 weeks from today at 5:30 Eastern, 2:30 Pacific. Bye for now.
Thanks, everyone.